Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm here to touch base with a company that we introduced just a few weeks back, and that's Quest Microsystems, traded on the TSX Venture under the symbol KWE and on the OTC markets under the symbol KWEMF. I'm here with the executive chairman of Quest, and that is David Luxton. David, welcome to the show, and we'd love to have you just give our audience a quick reminder of what Quest Microsystems is all about from a high level.
Yeah, sure. Good to be with you again. Well, Quest, K-W-E-S-S-T, develops and commercializes high-value future tactical systems for land forces and responders. And within that, it has a portfolio of technologies that is productizing in response to customer requirements around the world.
Great. Well, I know you have a number of different product lines that deal with military surveillance, help with protection, private protection. But one of the products that's really getting some traction lately and that you just had a press release out on June 30th was on your new low energy cartridge system. It looks like you're doing your first live demo of the non-lethal low energy cartridge system. Could you explain to investors, what is this product? Why are you excited about it? And where do you see the reach being in the market?
Yeah, so the low-energy cartridge system is a non-lethal system that has applications across many segments of the non-lethal market. Well, what's a non-lethal market? That encompasses segments like public order and subjugation of dangerous offenders, which is a big preoccupation these days of security forces and law enforcement. It also encompasses what's called force-on-force training with the military. I developed the original system for that called Simunition for military and law enforcement, tactical teams, counterterrorist teams. And as well, it has a broad application for personal defense. For those who want something that's reliable, which has to be a cartridge-based system, not an air-based system, in order to be reliable. And even the high-action gaming community has requirements for something like this to provide ultra-realism. So there are those kind of segments. There's others as well, like animal control. But across those segments, really hasn't been any breakthrough technology over many, many years. Some incremental improvements. A lot of these systems are air-based. The market has been asking us over and over to have the reliability of a cartridge-based system, a cartridge meaning the kind of system that powers a gun. This is very low energy, and so its impact is non-lethal, and there's a variety of payloads in the projectiles for different effects depending on the mission.
So let's dig into that just a little bit deeper, David, because it one of the things that it seemed unique, and we've had a previous discussion on this, is because this is non-lethal and because it's cartridge-based instead of air-based, this actually gives people a real-life feeling if you're in the military or if you're in police of, you know, being able to point a projectile at somebody without taking their own life. And you had mentioned that from the police standpoint and even from the military standpoint, things like tasers and things and other non-lethal options aren't so non-lethal, actually.
Well, it's certainly well documented that there have been a lot of fatalities with other systems. You mentioned Taser, that's one of them. Police officers trying to subdue dangerous subjects with beanbag rounds or baton rounds of a shotgun have killed people, or they've mixed up the live ammunition and killed people. And so these systems have their limitations. And, you know, I've been very close to I've been an expert in the less lethal, non-lethal industry for many, many years. I understand those limitations, and that's why we developed this breakthrough technology that has application across all of these different market segments that are trying to achieve essentially a non-lethal effect.
Yeah, I can see where the interest would be to switch over to more of a product like this. But also, just as you mentioned, from the retail standpoint and from the just the private consumer, I could see this being an interesting point for their own personal defense. You know, you have a lady out at night at the mall, somebody's coming up to her car, to have something like this versus a taser or versus pepper spray may be a better option. What do you think the market is for just the private sector using this, or the gaming community, as you mentioned? How big could that market be?
Well, we've gone into this having sized those markets, and this is a multi-billion dollar market, and with many subsegments to it, and the one technology has applicability across them. So that makes it very attractive. It's a global market. Certainly, the U.S. is a big market for this, but so is the rest of the world. And we like niche opportunities like that that are big on a global scale. So we're very excited about how large the market potential is for this. We're excited that agencies and consumers alike have actually been asking insistently for something like this for a long time. Even for personal offense, the example you described, someone out at night, the normal types of things that are available for that require that you be, you know, up close and personal. They don't have much range to them. A distance is actually a safety factor. The farther you are from the threat, the safer you are. And this accomplishes all of that. And with the reliability, as I say, of a cartridge system, not a spray or some other air-based system.
And how soon to the market are you ready to bring these low-energy cartridge systems out for both larger-scale police or military or on the private consumer side? How close to market are you for this, and what is your game plan going forward as far as getting this out to the market to start generating revenues for the company?
So we have a roadmap for this where this product line is a very high priority because we know that people are waiting for it in all these different market segments. We're prioritizing the personal defense and the law enforcement market. So those will be the first items we have in the market in various stages where we're holding collaborative sessions with end users. And now through the end of this year, the big climax will all happen at the SHOT Show. That's the biggest event of its kind in the world. That's in Las Vegas next January, and we'll have product available and live shooting demonstrations. And so that will be when people can see the full-blown product set and all of its capability. So that's what we're marching towards between now and then.
Yeah, that's going to be a key event for you to really showcase it to the greater market. So, okay, great. Well, let's move over to some of the other product lines that Quest has and some of the other services you offer. One of the next things that I know is pretty high up the batting order is your electric decoy system, the Phantom system. Could you walk us through, on a high level, what is this electronic decoy system? What's the application, and who might the market be for that?
Well, the market for that is almost exclusively the military. Here's the problem it solves. When we deploy forces, particularly in remote areas, the adversaries can detect where they are because the good guys are emitting electromagnetic signatures from all of the electronic communications devices they're using. That's dangerous because the adversary can find you and find you quickly. And there's been several instances, some of them publicly reported, where large numbers of troops and armor have just been annihilated in moments because of that. So what the electronic decoy does is it emulates or it imitates NATO communications of all kinds. And so if you sprinkle these in a contested area, adversaries don't know where you actually are and where these ghost or fictional signals are coming from, right? So that's why we call it Phantom. So that provides a large measure of safety and operational maneuverability and time in the area to conduct operations without being detected. And this is becoming a higher and higher priority with NATO groups starting in the U.S. Where we've just had a first demonstration of this to special forces groups, all very excited about it. We're excited that they're excited, and it's basic. They seem to want to move on this.
Yeah, I could see where that would save lives in a meaningful way, because if the enemy forces don't know exactly where all the people are and these decoy signals are peppering it with some false signals, that protects our troops. So I could see where there'd be some interest in deploying that. You have a couple other of defensive products as well that we maybe should mention. You have a laser defense system, and you also have the counter-drone missiles. So maybe talk to us on a high level about some of these products. What, you know, you have a background in introducing different products like this into the military and defense arena, but what do you see as attractive about the counter-drones, the laser defense, and some of the other products that Quest has to help in that market?
Right. Well, and you're right. You do have, I and the whole team have very deep background over many years in introducing new capability to military and to the responder community. And in the case of the micro drone, everyone, I think, has read about the growing problem of drones, and particularly, again, in contested areas or where we have troops out in operations, but also domestically. You have drones that are threats. They can be an unknown threat, or they can be trying to conduct surveillance, or they can be weaponized with explosives on board. It's like a poor man's flying IED. These are being used to quite devastating effect, and they're getting ever more sophisticated. And to date, there's been pretty good capability to stop them with electronic countermeasures, but those are becoming less and less effective. In addition to those countermeasures, you now need to have some way to take it down out of the air safely. And our solution, which is unique as far as we know, is a micro drone missile that has no explosive, it's just kinetic. It will go up and autonomously find a missile or drones, and will impact them at very high speed and take them out of the air. And again, that's getting the kind of attention we'd hoped it would with military groups in the U.S. and elsewhere in NATO. And so we're marching our way through their test and evaluation processes now and are feeling very encouraged to have been down selected from amongst many other potential solutions. Ben, you mentioned the laser defense system. The average public probably doesn't realize that the battlefield these days is full of laser devices of all kinds. And a gap in the capability of naval forces is to be able to detect those lasers at the level of ground troops. They can do it on board big platforms and even on board armored vehicles, but what are called dismounted troops on the ground have no way to do this right now. And so they need to be able to be alerted and networked among soldiers with the alert that tells you lasers are in the area. And if you are lased, as they call it, to be able to detect that, to identify what kind of lasers, what have you been lased for, and where is that coming from? And so that combination of capability, detecting it, identifying it, and locating the source really is a game changer for soldiers on the ground. And that's what our laser defense system does. So we're in the process right now of making the first introductions of that to forces that have asked to have it to solve this problem and want to evaluate it. And that will be happening through the course of this year. So there's another product for 2022.
Now, David, with the case of all these more of the tangible side of your business, if there was some contracts put in place, or if you did get a big contract from a defense company, would you be the ones manufacture them there in-house, or would you farm this out to other people to make and private label it? How does that side of the business work as far as the production of these, if you do get some of these larger orders coming in?
Sure. Well, our model is just taking a page of what we've done before very, very successfully over many years. We start off by understanding the requirement, having the technology can solve it, seeding that with opinion-making end users. That attracts OEM or big defense contractors. We have some partnerships already. We said we expect to be announcing more, and we will. And so they are part of our go-to-market plan. And then our manufacturing plan is to always to outsource the manufacturing. We'll do some initial, what's called low-rate initial production for trials and demonstrations, but full production is something that we outsource. So we don't have a big CapEx to build up a lot of plant and equipment.
I think that's a key point, and that your relationships are really the key point there, that you have these different channels to be able to reach out to, and then they can take it and run with it once the contracts are in place. If they like the prototypes, if they like the proof of and the testing, then they take it from there and run with it. Let's toggle over to some of your non-tangible but more IP and IT related products, like your task systems and your micro-integrated system software technology. What are these product lines, and how do those fit into the equation for the company?
So there's some overlap between these technologies as part of the leverage we get out of our technology portfolio, which has a lot of IP and number of patents. And so you mentioned what we call TAS, the Tactical Awareness and Situational Control System. This is a system that's mainly software that goes on a soldier's or responder smart device. It will receive situational awareness from any source, including drones. It's networked amongst the ground forces, so they all now have a common operating picture of what's going on in real time. And more than that, this takes it a step further and allows them to use it for targeting. And that means that they're able to use their ground weapon systems to much greater effect, to get them into the fight much more quickly and to have much greater accuracy and to be further back from adversaries behind a position of cover, for example, so that our good forces stay protected. And so that is already the subject of a contract with the one major U.S. military customer, and we are concluding that contract by the end of this September, and expecting follow-on work on the heels of that. That also has triggered other military groups wanting the same thing. So we are in active discussions to provide others the same capability.
Yeah, David, there's really a lot going on with Quest Microsystems, and a lot of your fingers are in a lot of different pies there with a lot of different outreach. So there's any one of these, it seems like, could be a major mover for the company. And obviously, if you get two or three of these going simultaneously, it could really move the needle. But what should investors be looking for, let's say, over the balance of the year as far as news flow? What are the key milestones? What are the key catalysts investors should keep their eye on?
Really more signs of progress on everything I just enumerated. So there'll be more OEM partnerships announced with major defense contractors. I think they should look for that. That's a very important sign, you know, to me as an investor, and I've been investing in this industry a long time. That's such a key to getting the market. If you're dancing with the right players in the defense industry community, and then you're well on your way to success. We expect, of course, other contract announcements that validate the user requirement and demand for this, the market demand. And we will be showing the results of some of the events that we're at and how well the products are doing in demonstrations. We've had some announcements like that already in the past year or so. So there will be a collage of things that will be coming out on all fronts across the product lines here. And as you say, there's a lot going on. Well, it's all very focused on some high-value markets, and it's stuff that we've done before and we know how to do. And what I like about it as an investor, and why I jumped into Quest with both feet, is that there's a lot of ways to win. So it's not binary. One product is great or it's not, but any one of these things can be a home run. And that's what has me excited about the opportunity.
Well, fantastic, David. We'll keep following along as news hits the wires. We'll keep following along as you hit these different shows and as more contracts are awarded, and bring you back on the show for an update. But thanks for your time today. And until then, wishing Quest Microsystems the greatest success.
Great. Thanks so much. Good chatting.